Salvation and forgiveness are the same. They both imply that something has gone wrong you need to be saved from, or forgiven for. Something amiss that needs corrective change, or something apart or different from the will of God. Thus do both terms imply the thought of the impossible which has occurred, resulting in a state of conflict now between what is and what could never be. The impossible becomes the thing you need forgiveness for, salvation from. Salvation thus becomes the borderland which stands between the truth and fantasies. Now it reflects the truth because it is the means by which you can escape illusions. Yet it is not the truth because it has the function to undo all causeless things. The secret of salvation is but this, that you are doing this unto yourself. No matter what the form of the attack, this still is true. Whoever takes the role of enemy and of attacker, still is this the truth. Salvation is a secret you have kept but from yourself. The universe proclaims it so. But, to its witnesses, you pay no heed at all. For they attest the thing you do not want to know. They seem to keep it secret from you. Yet you need but learn you choose but not to listen, not to see. How differently will you perceive the world, when this is recognized? When you forgive the world your guilt, you will be free of it. Its innocence does not demand your guilt, nor does your guiltlessness rest on its sins. This is the obvious, a secret kept from no one but yourself. And it is this that has maintained you separate from the world, and kept your brother separate from you. Now need you but to learn that both of you are innocent or guilty. The one thing that is impossible is that you be unlike each other, that they both be true. This is the only secret yet to learn. And it will be no secret you are healed. For you would not react at all to figures in a dream you knew that you were dreaming. Let them be as hateful and as vicious as they may, they could have no effect on you unless you failed to recognize, it is your dream. This single lesson learned will set you free from suffering, whatever form it takes. The Holy Spirit will repeat this one inclusive lesson of deliverance until it has been learned, regardless of the form of suffering that brings you pain. Whatever hurt you bring to Him, He will make answer with this very simple truth. For this one answer takes away the cause of every form of sorrow and of pain. The form affects His answer not at all, for He would teach you but the single cause of all of them, no matter what their form. And you will understand that miracles reflect the simple statement, I have done this thing, and it is this I would undo. This is salvation's keynote. What I see reflects a process in my mind, which starts with my idea of what I want. From there, the mind makes up an image of the thing the mind desires, judges valuable, and therefore seeks to find. These images are then projected outward, looked upon, esteemed as real and guarded as one's own. Whatever seems to be the cause of any pain and suffering you feel, this is still true. From insane wishes comes an insane world. From judgment comes a world condemned. And from forgiving thoughts a gentle world comes forth, with mercy for the Holy Son of God, to offer Him a kindly home where He can rest a while before He journeys on, and help His brothers walk ahead with Him, and find the way to heaven and to God. Souls cannot rest until everyone has found salvation. This happens to be true. It is the privilege of the forgiven to forgive. Miracles are the way in which minds that serve the Spirit unite with Christ for the salvation, or release, of all God's creations. You who fear salvation are willing death. Life and death, light and darkness, knowledge and perception are irreconcilable. To believe that they can be reconciled is to believe that God and man cannot. Only the oneness of knowledge is conflictless. The term salvation does not apply to the soul, which is not in danger and does not need to be salvaged. Salvation is nothing more than right-mindedness, which is not the one-mindedness of the soul, but which must be accomplished before one-mindedness can be restored. But the time is now. You have not been asked to work out the plan of salvation yourselves, because, as I told you before, the remedy is not of your making. God Himself gave you the perfect correction for everything you have made which is not in accord with His holy will. Your salvation lies in teaching exactly the opposite of everything the ego believes. This is how you will learn the truth that will make you free, and keep you free so as others learn it of you. For your own salvation you must be critical. Because your salvation is critical to the whole sonship. When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose sight of yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. You were in darkness until God's will was done completely by any part of the sonship. When it was perfectly accomplished by all. How else could it be perfectly accomplished? Christ's mission was simply to unite the will of the Sonship with the will of the Father by being aware of the Father's will. This is the awareness given you, and your problem in accepting it is the problem of this world. Dispelling it is salvation, and in this sense you are the salvation of the world. Joy is unified purpose, and unified purpose is only God's. When yours is unified, it is His. Interfere with His purpose, and you need salvation. All loss comes only from your own misunderstanding. Loss of any kind is impossible. When you see a brother as a body, you are condemning him because you have condemned yourself. When you look upon a brother as a physical entity, his power and glory are lost to you too, and so are yours. You have attacked him, and you must have attacked yourself first. Do not see him this way for your own salvation, which must bring him his. You have condemned yourself, but condemnation is not of God. Therefore, it is not true. No more are any of the results of your condemnation. But if all condemnation is unreal, and it must be unreal because it is a form of attack, then it can have no results. There is no difference between your will and God's. If you did not have divided wills, you would recognize that willing is salvation because it is communication. Your will is your salvation because it is the same as God's. The separation is nothing more than the belief that it is different. Salvation is of your brother. The Holy Spirit extends from your mind to his, and answers you. Your brother may not know who he is, but there is a light in his mind which does know. This light can shine into yours, making his words true, and you able to hear them. His words are the Holy Spirit's answer to you. Is your faith in him strong enough to let you listen and hear? You will never know that you are a co-creator with God, until you learn that your brother is a co-creator with you. You cannot hear the voice for God in yourself alone, because you are not alone. And his answer is only for what you are. The ego's qualifications as a guide are singularly unfortunate, and that it is a remarkably poor choice as a teacher of salvation. Yet this question, ridiculous as it seems, is really the crucial issue in the whole separation fantasy. Anyone who elects a totally insane guide must be totally insane himself. It is not true that you do not know the guide is insane. You know. God's will is your salvation. Would he not have given you the means to find it? If he wills you to have it, he must have made it possible and very easy to obtain it. Your brothers are everywhere. You do not have to seek far for salvation. Every minute and every second gives you a chance to save yourself. Do not lose these chances, not because they will not return, but because delay of joy is needless. God wills you perfect happiness now. The real world is all that the Holy Spirit has saved for you out of what you have made, and to perceive only this is salvation. Because it is the recognition that reality is only what is true. Suppose a brother insists on having you do something you think you do not want to do. The very fact of his insistence should tell you that he believes salvation lies in it. If you insist on refusing, and experience a quick response of opposition, you are believing that your salvation lies in not doing it. You, then, are making the same mistake that he is, and are making his error real to both of you. Insistence means investment, and what you invest in is always related to your notion of salvation. The question is always twofold: first, what is to be saved, and second, how can it be saved? Whenever you become angry with a brother, for whatever reason, you are believing that the ego is to be saved, and to be saved by attack. If he attacks, you are agreeing with this belief, and if you attack, you are reinforcing it. Recognize what does not matter. And if your brothers ask you for something outrageous, do it because it does not matter. Refuse, and your opposition establishes that it does matter to you. It is only you, therefore, who have made the request outrageous, for nothing can be asked of you, and every request of a brother is for you. Why would you insist in denying him? For to do so is to deny yourself, and impoverish both. He is asking for salvation, as you are. Salvation is for the mind, and it is attained through peace. This is the only thing that can be saved, and the only way to save it. Any response other than love arises from a confusion about the what and the how of salvation. And this is the only answer. Never lose sight of this, and never allow yourself to believe, even for an instant, that there is another answer. For you will surely place yourself among the poor, who do not understand that they dwell in abundance and that salvation is come. Everything you perceive as the outside world is merely your attempt to maintain your ego identification, for everyone believes that identification is salvation. Long ago we said that God so loved the world that he gave it to his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on him should never see death. God does love the real world, and those who perceive its reality cannot see the world of death. For death is not of the real world, in which everything is eternal. God gave you the real world in exchange for the one you made, out of your split mind, and which is the symbol of death. For if you could really separate yourselves from the mind of God, you would die. And the world you perceive is a world of separation. You were willing to accept even death to deny your Father. Yet he would not have it so, and so it is not so. You still could not will against him, and that is why you have no control over the world you made. It is not a world of will, because it is governed by the desire to be unlike him. And this desire is not will. The world you made is therefore totally chaotic, governed by arbitrary and senseless laws, and without meaning of any kind. For it was made out of what you do not want, projected from your mind, because you were afraid of it. Yet this world is only in the mind of its maker, along with his real salvation. Do not believe it is outside of yourself, for only by recognizing where it is, will you gain control over it. For you do have control over your mind, for the mind is the mechanism of decision. If you will recognize that all attack which you perceive, is in your own mind, and nowhere else, you will at last have placed its source, and where it began it must end. For in this place also lies salvation. If this were the real world, God would be cruel. For no father could subject his children to this as the price of salvation, and be loving. Love does not kill to save. For if it did, attack would be salvation, and this is the ego's interpretation, not God's. Salvation is not found by those who use their brothers to resolve problems which are not there. You wanted not salvation in the past. Would you impose your idle wishes on the present, and hope to find salvation now? Determine, then, to be not as you were. Use no relationship to hold you to the past. The Holy Spirit has a very different kind of reconciliation in his mind for you, and one which you will effect, as surely as the ego will not effect what it attempts. Failure is of the ego, not of God. From him you cannot wander, and there is no possibility that the plan the Holy Spirit offers to everyone for the salvation of everyone will not be perfectly accomplished. You know not of salvation, for you do not understand it. Make no decisions about what it is, or where it lies, but ask of the Holy Spirit everything, and leave all decisions to his gentle counsel. The one who knows the plan of God which God would have you follow, can teach you what it is. Only his wisdom is capable of guiding you to follow it. Every decision you undertake alone but signifies that you would define what salvation is, and what you would be saved from. The Holy Spirit knows that all salvation is escape from guilt. You have no other enemy. And against this strange distortion of the purity of the Son of God, the Holy Spirit is your only friend. Let him, therefore, be the only guide that you would follow to salvation. He knows the way, and leads you gladly on it. With him, you will not fail to learn what God wills for you as your will. Without his guidance, you will think you know alone, and will decide against your peace, as surely as you made the wrong decision in ever thinking that salvation lay in you alone. Salvation is of him to whom God gave it for you. He has not forgotten it. Forget him not, and he will make every decision for you, for your salvation and the peace of God in you. When you have learned to accept what you are, you will make no more gifts to offer to yourselves, for you will know you are complete, in need of nothing, and unable to accept anything for yourself, but you will gladly give, having received. The host of God need not seek to find anything. If you are wholly willing to leave salvation to the plan of God, and unwilling to attempt to grasp for peace yourself, salvation will be given you. But think not you can substitute your plan for his. Rather, join with me in his, that we may release all those who would be bound, proclaiming together that the Son of God is host to him. Think not that you can find salvation in your own way, and have it. Give over every plan that you have made for your salvation in exchange for God's. Every allegiance to a plan of salvation that is apart from him, diminishes the value of his will for you in your own minds. And yet, it is your mind that is the host to him. Forgiveness is not loss, but your salvation. You cannot accept the fact that sacrifice gets nothing. Sacrifice is so essential to your thought system that salvation, apart from sacrifice, means nothing to you. Salvation lies in the simple fact that illusions are not fearful, because they are not true. Salvation will become a dream, and vanish from your mind. For salvation is the end of dreams, and with the closing of the dream, will have no meaning. Who awake in heaven could dream that there could ever be need of salvation? How much do you want salvation? It will give you the real world, trembling with readiness to be given you. Salvation is easy just because it asks nothing that you cannot give right now. It is essential that error be not confused with sin. And it is this distinction which makes salvation possible. Salvation cannot be withheld from you. It is your purpose. You cannot will apart from this. You have no purpose apart from each other, nor apart from the one you ask the Holy Spirit to share with you. Salvation is looked upon as a way by which the Son of God was killed, instead of you. This sacrifice you feel to be too great to make, too much to ask of you. Is it a sacrifice, or a release? What has the body really given you, that justifies your strange belief that in it lies salvation? Do you not see that this is the belief in death? Here is the focus of the perception of atonement as murder. Here is the source of the idea that love is fear. The Holy Spirit does not demand you sacrifice the hope of the body's pleasures. It has no hope of pleasure. But neither can it bring you fear of pain. Pain is the only sacrifice the Holy Spirit asks. And this he would remove. This brother, who stands beside you, still seems to be a stranger. You do not know him, and your interpretation of him is very fearful. And you attack him still, to keep what seems to be yourself unharmed. Yet in his hands is your salvation. You see his madness, which you hate because you share in it. To each who walks this earth in seeming solitude is a Savior given, whose special function here is to release him, and so to free himself. In the world of separation, each is appointed separately, though they are all the same. But those who know that they are all the same, need not salvation. Perhaps this seems impossible to you. But ask yourself if it is possible that God would have a plan for your salvation that does not work. Once you accept his plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else the Holy Spirit will not arrange for you, without your effort. Salvation is the Holy Spirit's goal. The means is vision. For what the seeing look upon is sinless. No one who loves can judge, and what he sees is free of condemnation. Your brother's sinlessness is given you in shining light, to look on with the Holy Spirit's vision, and to rejoice in along with him. For peace will come to all who ask for it with real desire and sincerity of purpose, shared with the Holy Spirit, and at one with him on what salvation is. His is the only thing that you need do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. I am responsible for what I see. I chose the feelings I experience, and I decided on the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I asked for and received as I had asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. It is impossible the Son of God be merely driven by events outside him. It is impossible that the happenings that come to him were not his choice. His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he seems to find himself by chance or accident. No accident or chance is possible within the universe as God created it, outside of which is nothing. God's plan for your salvation could not have been established without your will and your consent. It must have been accepted by the Son of God, for what God wills for him, he must receive. For God wills not, apart from him. Nor does the will of God wait upon time to be accomplished. Therefore, what joined the will of God must be in you now, being eternal. You must have set aside a place in which the Holy Spirit can abide, and where he is. You are joined as your salvation. Reason is not salvation in itself, but it makes way for peace, and brings you to a state of mind in which salvation can be given you. The substitute for love, born of your enmity to one another, must be salvation. It has no substitute, and there is only one. Salvation is no compromise of any kind. To compromise is to accept but part of what you want, to take a little, and give up the rest. Salvation gives up nothing. It is complete for everyone. Let the idea of compromise but enter, and the awareness of salvation's purpose is lost, because it is not recognized. It is denied where compromise has been accepted. For compromise is the belief salvation is impossible. You have a function in salvation. Its pursuit will bring you joy. Forgive the great creator of the universe, the source of life, of love and holiness, the perfect father of a perfect son, for your illusions of your specialness. Here is the hell you chose to be your home. He chose not this for you. Ask not he enter this. The way is barred to love and to salvation. To each of you is given the power of salvation, that escape from darkness into light be yours to share, that you may see as one what never has been separate, nor apart from all his love is given equally. Forgiveness is the only function meaningful in time. It is the means the Holy Spirit uses to translate specialness from sin into salvation. Salvation is no more than a reminder this world is not your home, its laws are not imposed on you, its values are not yours. And nothing that you think you see in it is really there at all. And this is seen and understood as each one takes his part in its undoing, as he did in making it. He has the means for either, as he always did. The specialness he chose to hurt himself did God appoint to be the means for his salvation, from the very instant that the choice was made. His special sin was made his special grace. His special hate became his special love. The Holy Spirit needs your special function, that his may be fulfilled. Think not you lack a special value here. You wanted it, and it is given you. All that you made can serve salvation easily and well. Salvation is rebirth of the idea no one can lose for anyone to gain. And everyone must gain, if anyone would be a gainer. The Holy Spirit can use all that you give to him for your salvation. Recognize that what brings loss to no one you would not know. This much is necessary to add to the idea no one can lose for you to gain. And nothing more. Here is the only principle salvation needs. Nor is it necessary that your faith in it be strong, unswerving, and without attack from all beliefs opposed to it. You have no fixed allegiance. But remember, salvation is not needed by the saved. You are not called upon to do what one divided still against himself would find impossible. Have little faith that wisdom could be found in such a state of mind. Salvation stops just short of heaven, for only perception needs salvation. Heaven was never lost, and so cannot be saved. Yet who can make a choice between the wish for heaven and the wish for hell, unless he recognizes they are not the same? Salvation, perfect and complete, asks but a little wish that what is true be true, a little willingness to overlook what is not there. You say eventual salvation, not immediate results. Salvation is immediate. Unless you so perceive it, you will be afraid of it, believing that the risk of loss is great between the time its purpose is made yours and its effects will come to you. In this form is the error still obscured that is the source of fear. Salvation would wipe out the space you see between you still, and let you instantly become as one. And it is here you fear the loss would lie. Do not project this fear to time, for time is not the enemy that you perceive. Time is as neutral as the body is, except in terms of what you see it for. If you would keep a little space between you still, you want a little time in which forgiveness is withheld a little while. This makes the interval between the time in which forgiveness is withheld and given seem dangerous, with terror justified. Yet space between you is apparent now, and cannot be perceived in future time. No more can it be overlooked, except within the present. Future loss is not your fear. But present joining is your dread. Because the mind acknowledges this is not done to me, but I am doing this, the mind is free to make another choice instead. Beginning here, salvation will proceed to change the course of every step in the descent to separation, until all the steps have been retraced, the ladder gone, and all the dreaming of the world undone. What waits in perfect certainty beyond salvation is not our concern. For you have barely started to allow your first, uncertain steps to be directed up the ladder separation led you down. The miracle alone is your concern at present. Here is where we must begin. There is no middle ground, in any aspect of salvation. You accept it wholly, or accept it not. What is unseparated must be joined. And what is joined cannot be separate. Forgiveness is your peace, for herein lies the end of separation, and the dream of danger and destruction, sin and death, of madness and of murder, grief and loss. This is the sacrifice salvation asks, and gladly offers peace instead of this. Salvation seeks to prove there is no death, and only life exists. The sacrifice of death is nothing lost. God turns to you to ask the world be saved, for by your own salvation is it healed. No one walks upon the earth but must depend on your decision, that he learn death has no power over him because he shares your freedom, as he shares your will. It is your will to heal him, and because you have decided with him, he is healed. And now is God forgiven, for you chose to look upon your brother as a friend. Salvation is a paradox indeed. What could it be except a happy dream? For you are asked but to forgive all things that no one ever did, to overlook what is not there, and not to look upon the unreal as reality. You are but asked to let your will be done, and seek no longer for the things you do not want. And you are asked to let yourself be free of all the dreams of what you never were, and seek no more to substitute the strength of idle wishes for the will of God. Here does the dream of separation start to fade and disappear. For here the gap that is not there begins to be perceived without the toys of terror that you made. No more than this is asked. Be glad indeed salvation asks so little, not so much. It asks for nothing in reality. And even in illusions it but asks forgiveness be the substitute for fear. Salvation does not lie in being asked to make unnatural responses, which are inappropriate to what is real. Instead, it merely asks that you respond appropriately to what is not real, by not perceiving what has not occurred. Salvation rests on faith. There cannot be some forms of guilt which you cannot forgive. And so there cannot be appearances which have replaced the truth about God's Son. Look on your brother with the willingness to see him as he is. How simple is salvation! All it says is what was never true is not true now, and never will be. The impossible has not occurred, and can have no effects. And that is all. Salvation is undoing. If you choose to see the body, you behold a world of separation, unrelated things, and happenings that make no sense at all. This one appears and disappears in death. That one is doomed to suffering and loss. And no one is exactly as he was an instant previous. Nor will he be the same as he is now an instant hence. Who could have trust where so much change is seen, for who is worthy if he be but dust? Salvation is undoing of all this. And constancy arises in the sight of those whose eyes salvation has released from looking at the cost of keeping guilt, because they chose to let it go instead. Salvation does not ask that you behold the spirit and perceive the body not. It merely asks that this should be your choice. For you can see the body without help, but do not understand how to behold a world apart from it. It is your world salvation will undo, and let you see another world your eyes could never find. Be not concerned how this could ever be. You do not understand how what you see arose to meet your sight. For if you did, it would be gone. The veil of ignorance is drawn across the evil and the good, and must be passed that both may disappear, so that perception finds no hiding place. Salvation can be seen as nothing more than the escape from concepts. It does not concern itself with content of the mind, but with the simple statement that it thinks. What can think has choice, and can be shown that different thoughts have different consequence. And it can learn that everything it thinks reflects the deep confusion that it feels about how it was made, and what it is. And vaguely does the concept of the self appear to answer what it does not know. Seek not yourself in symbols. There can be no concept that can stand for what you are. What matters it which concept you accept? Learning is change. Yet in this learning is salvation born. And what you are will tell you of itself. Salvation does not seek to use a means as yet too alien to your thinking to be helpful, nor to make the kinds of change you could not recognize. Concepts are needed while perception lasts. And changing concepts is salvation's task. For it must deal in contrasts, not in truth, which has no opposite and cannot change. In this world's concepts are the guilty bad, the good are innocent. And no one here but holds a concept of himself in which he counts the good to pardon him the bad. Nor does he trust the good in anyone, believing that the bad must lurk behind. The veil across the face of Christ, the fear of God and of salvation, and the love of guilt and death, all are different names for just one error, that there is a space between you and your brother, kept apart by an illusion of yourself which holds him off from you, and you away from him. There is no escape from salvation. You cannot escape salvation, and you will not escape fear until you want salvation. Be glad that neither your reality nor your salvation is a matter of your preference, for you have much cause for joy. But that the cause is not of your making is surely obvious. Again. The secret of salvation is but this, that you are doing this unto yourself. No matter what the form of the attack, this still is true. Whoever takes the role of enemy and of attacker, still is this the truth. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. I am responsible for what I see. I chose the feelings I experience, and I decided on the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I asked for and received as I had asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear.